Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. This is Human Hand Grenade Rundown, The Matrix. Heading into week 8, and there's not a ton of change. There is a little marginal gains action. We're gonna go Team Ineos here, do some marginal gains this week, but I don't think there's super huge changes, but we'll run down here. So Zeke, I mean, I think it's a smashing success, honestly. Like, it's a really good success given his cost. He's having a great year. Pollard, injury way guy, lock and load, bang. Dalvin Cook, disappointing year. Alexander Mattison, the injury way. We're going firmly Alexander Mattison theory. I'm probably going to have to write this up for the book. I should do, like, a glossary of theories that I have named after people. Alexander Mattison would make it. Of course, I have the Harris Madison exacta. Kenny Galladay theory. Kenny Galladay can make it twice because Kenny Galladay is the founding member, the reason for density study. So there's that as well. But yeah, so the Alexander Madison theory in full effect here still, that the backup, if he's good, actually outproduces a starter. So interesting there as we see that going forward. But I feel confident. Cook, Madison, you feel fine. Heading to the Saints here, Alvin Kamara, big performance on Monday Night Football. He's the lead guy. Tony Jones on his way back, so he'll be a watch there. I don't have official snap counts at the time of recording, so that I can't help you there much on that. But it's Kamara. And I thought I saw Ozigbo running around out there for a bit, but I didn't have the volume on us watching it. So I believe he was the one that was getting some work. All right, Detroit, DeAndre Swift. Yep. Jamal Williams. Yep. Pretty straightforward there. They do have a week 9 bye. This isn't a situation where you're going to float out an injury away running back to fill any sort of need. Like, you're rolling with Jamal Williams. I think that bears mentioning. Nick Chubb looks like he's going to be questionable to doubtful this week. So that's at least the early tea leaves that we're reading. So I think that's a situation to watch. Kareem Hunt on IR. Dearness Johnson, potential start situation, which would be really interesting for another week. Again, that's one that could pay off. And I actually made an appearance on Cleveland television today, and I mentioned Dearness Johnson's name more times than it could actually be reasonably expected for me to do. They must have thought I was, like, absolutely pandering, and I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is really exciting here. But yeah, so that was fun. But but Dearness Johnson, I think it's definitely going to be an interesting situation. We'll see what happens with Baker. They're very much up in the air. It's not a great situation ultimately to be a home favorite against the Steelers. And it looks like the early line there is like a 3-point favorite. It's a low total. So again, that's honestly somewhat similar to last week. And he put up a $146. So if that sounds familiar, hey, you know, I don't know, low team total and the tough defense. You're like, oh wait, he just almost ran for 150 yards. Like, you should be fine. So I'm not, you know, with that offensive line and everything, I think you're probably playing him. This is a better bye week situation too. So you might have better options as well. So I think he's firmly on the running back 2 scenario, scene, if you will, with Nick Chubb being out. I do think Nick Chubb is going to return at some point in the near future thereafter. So this isn't one where I'm going to probably go further down the line on a backup running back. I do think, In LA, you've got Darrell Henderson, you got Sony Michel. Buddy Howell is an interesting third guy. Again, he's firmly a third guy. They'd probably add a street free agent if it got that far. But I think he's an interesting name and 40 man to potentially roster as well. I am operating on a new theory that I didn't think a ton of in my weekly running back rundown situations, but I do think it warrants a little bit of more consideration. I do think we have to prioritize some thought around Thursday Night Football. So, and I'll tell you why. You have a short bounce back. So we have the Dearness Johnson situation off the Kareem Hunt injury and the Nick Chubb injury. So there's that. But also, I do think it warrants some thought with the short turnaround time and COVID. And we're seeing this with Green Bay, and I am not sure who's ultimately going to play, who's ultimately going to miss, but you had Devontae Adams test positive. You had, I believe it was a coach, a defensive coordinator maybe, or defensive, someone on the defensive staff. That was the initial report that I saw, that he had tested positive, and then it was Devontae Adams. This isn't going to be a COVID politics show, but suffice it to say, there is, I think, enough of a risk of, we don't necessarily know entirely who's vaccinated, and there's enough of a risk of, even at a low number of breakthrough rate, there's just enough guys that there's going to be breakthrough rates. And I don't know anything about Adams's status or anything like that, but I haven't even looked it up. But these situations, especially on a short week, you can't, if you test positive, even if you're vaccinated, you can't clear the protocol and by a Thursday game, is my understanding. So I'm not, I'm sort of the position that you just, that those games, like, really be thoughtful the week in advance. So I think you're obviously rostering Aaron Jones. I think A.J. Dillon is a prime injury away guy still. I would say this, if you have a spot, and this is a situation where I think there's a very specific tactic that you do in the, you can do in this week. If you have a spot this week for Kylan Hill, throw him on the back of your roster and then cut him before game time. If there's a COVID situation that impacts Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon, and or A.J. Dillon, like, you could sneak a spot start for Kylan Hill if you want it. If you don't want it, you can cut him or keep him either way. Like, you don't, if he's getting a spot start, you might want to keep him. But if he's not going to get a spot start, cut him. And then that way it opens up the roster spot for later on in the week. So I would play that as you're probably not going to roster him through Thursday game time unless he is the starter. So that's the specific tactic that I would use in this. And the reason I wouldn't hold him would be because even if there's an Aaron Jones or an A.J. Dillon positive COVID test, I think that Dillon had it, and he actually had it pretty bad. I don't know if he's vaccinated. I don't know any of those stuff. I just remember him having it and remember it not being great. Cause I had made a joke about, that he was going to be the cure because COVID wasn't going to want any part of him. So I remember that pretty vividly, that he had it. So I'm not sure what their status is, and what the risk factors are or whatnot for them missing any games, but it is floating around the offensive side of the football for Green Bay. I do think it's something that you should consider, right? If there's a roster spot and honestly, if it's like a third running back or something like that, and you can cut someone, add Kylan Hill for 24, 48 hours, and then cut him and then add the person back. If it's that type of situation, it's probably not going to work, but in the off chance it does, like, you actually have a really good matchup on Thursday night against an Arizona team that struggles to defend the run. So, again, this is a we're trying to turn a 1% shot into a 2% shot, and that's 100% increase, but it's a very small base rate number. So I do think that's a tactic I'm going to employ in some spots just to try and gain a marginal edge there. So just keep that one in mind. All right, Kansas City, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we're on the watch return there for him. They got pounded on by Tennessee, so I think it's going to be for a lot of reasons, I struggle to think that Kansas City is going to get, that Kansas City is going to just sort of walk away. This is a team that should have been in the, or just retreat with their tail between their legs. Like, this is a spot where this is a team that went to the playoffs and went deep into the playoffs. It should have been in the last three Super Bowls. They had the D Ford offsides a couple, that ended up sending New England there a couple years back. But you've got an all-timer at quarterback. You've got a really good coach. I know their defense isn't very good. They're top four in yards per play. I mean, I know that everyone's chicken littling this and and it making a big deal of it. I personally think that it's probably going to be okay. Like, I think they're probably going to go back, regress to their base rate, which is a darn good football team that's quarterback centric. And I mean, who's Patrick Mahomes? I know we're getting far afield from the running back show for a second, but who's Patrick Mahomes? Is he the guy that's kind of struggled and is the league leader in interceptions through 7 weeks, or is he the guy that is like second all time in yards per attempt for a quarterback entering the year? Is he the 5+1 touchdown interception rate guy? Which one, or where are we going to put our money? So I think they're going to get right. I still think it's a good situation for Darrell Williams. And look, they're going to be like, if you want, just again, I don't really do the narrative thing because I think it's all just made up and it's whatever. But if like, can you imagine what the media coverage is going to be like on Sunday night when they go out and they hang like 46 on the Giants on Monday Night Football? They're a 10-point home favorite. Like, this is Darrell Williams all day long. I guess that's the easy way to say that. Like, really interesting spot there for him. Again, I think Jerick McKinnon is interesting as well on the back of the roster there. Again, it's the guy that like needed an off week to recover from like 10 touches last year. So let's keep that in mind. But I did play 31% snap share in last week. He's played 31, 28, 31 the past 3 weeks. So, and that's behind pretty robust shares from Darrell Williams. So all that's to say, like, I think Darrell Williams could be like in the running back one conversation this week, especially after a down week. Like, he's going to be like a pretty popular, he would be a pretty popular DFS play for me, but for the fact that it's a Monday night game and it's not on any of the main slates. So sorry about that tidbit. Okay, next up is the Tampa Bay. Look, it's Leonard Fournette. It's Ronald Jones is pretty disappointing. Keyshawn Vaughn's pretty disappointing. And it's Geo in garbage time, like, or really 2-minute drills. But it's like Leonard Fournette, like top six in terms of expected points, smash spot. Derrick Henry, yep. Some notable stuff here in terms of Tennessee's workload. So on the season, Jeremy McNichols, 25.3% of snaps. This past week, the first week where Darrington Evans is back, he's 15% of snaps. Darrington Evans, 9% of snaps. So I think that's absolutely something we need to watch and we'll be paying attention to here going forward. I think he's played well enough that you probably, like, he has earned the right to continue to be the lead injury away guy. And McNichols has contributed in the passing game too. So that's, I don't think is trivial. Just the route numbers for this past week, 13 for Henry, 5 for McNichols, 3 for Evans. So again, it's a relatively small sample size to look at. In terms of passing snaps, 19 for Henry, 9 for McNichols, 4 for Evans. So basically, Evans was in on one pass blocking snap. You did have a couple more there for McNichols. So interesting. We'll see. I mean, I think I trust Jeremy McNichols more at this point to be the injury away guy. But if this is like a scenario where in a couple of weeks we get it's 40% Evans, 3% McNichols, and he's ramped his way back up and just sort of, is cutting into Henry shares, like, we'll make an adjustment. But I'm not jettisoning my McNichols shares quite yet, for what that's worth. But I am still holding Evans. So I think this is a hold firm situation, especially with the strength of their running offense. Okay, Atlanta, and so that you could go ahead and read this past week as being an absolute crisis if you own Mike Davis or roster Mike Davis. Don't necessarily think that's true. Mike Davis, 60% snap share this past week, 65 on the season, so it's not any, it's slightly less. Cordarrelle Patterson, 73% snap share. He's 44% on the season total, so notably above his average. Patterson, 14 for 60, a touchdown. He ran 28 routes, four targets, two receptions, 1 yard. Mike Davis, 4 for 10, 25 routes, and blanked. I don't think the usage is the playing time is just going to go away from Mike Davis. I think this is a little fluky. You know, do I feel uber confident in starting him this week? Nah, like, probably not. Like, am I going to play Dearness Johnson over him? Yes. Like, that's what I'm probably going to do, assuming Chubb's not healthy. You know, so that so you have those sorts of situations. Again, he's probably on the running back two flex radar. And this isn't a horrible week for buys. You know, you just have a couple with the Baltimore bye. As well as the Raiders. So I don't think it's – you're again, in those teams probably – like, I mean, Jacobs, yeah, but with Baltimore, you're not trusting anyone from there over any of the guys. So this isn't really – this week isn't really moving the needle on that debate. So I think Davis is more along the lines of like a running back three to flex range. And I think Cordarrelle Patterson you have to play every week. So – for what that is worth, Wayne Gallman there on the back end of the position. All right, Damian, so we have continuing movement and evolution in the Patriots backfield. Damian Harris, he goes off a pretty good game this week too. He goes 14, 106, and two touchdowns. He ran 11 routes, which is second most for the position. He goes two targets, two receptions, 7 yards. So, again, feel pretty confident he's the lead guy, about 50% snap share. So, okay. You get a DNP from Stevenson just as an inactive. J.J. Taylor plays. He goes 9 for 21, two touchdowns. Again, some of it's mop-up stuff, but 7 routes. He goes 1 for 5 yards there in the passing game on one target. I think the watch is between Stevenson and Taylor. If you're in a situation where – you know, you have the option to pick up somebody else instead of like a Stevenson or instead of a Taylor. I think you probably do that. You know, if you can, you know, if there's a situation, you know, I wouldn't probably cut Stevenson or Taylor for Kylan Hill, for example. Like, that wouldn't be the player. I wouldn't do it for Buddy Howell, for example. You know, but I'll use an example. If someone floats out like a Jamal Williams or someone like that, you're obviously cutting them for Jamal Williams. If someone floats out of James Conner, right? I think Kalen Ballage you'd rather have than those guys, because I think, you know, we'll see with McFarland, but I think Ballage has earned probably the running back two spot, for example. So those would be some of the tactics that I would see. You know, Perine, for example, you're having over those guys at this point. So, you know, that would sort of be my position there ultimately. Okay, next up is Vegas. They're on a bye, so that comes at a good time for Josh Jacobs' chest injury. I don't see this as particularly concerning, I don't think, and I haven't seen any super updates, you know, anything really that informative on what his injury is. And I'm not sure, because of their schedule this week, they might not even have the same media obligations that they, I guess, obligations or anything like that, we would get in like in a normal week. So, the good doctor over at Football Guys has him as day to day with a chest injury. So I'm not super worried about it. Again, so I think you can probably, like, if you need to float out Peyton Barber this week, I think he can do it. I'm adding him back next week. Again, you have more buys next week, so you could have a little bit more flexibility there. But I do think it's Peyton Barber, it's Kenyon Drake, and it's a running for Barber, it's a receiving role for Drake. And it was interesting that Drake was the primary guy behind Jacobs this week, as Barber was inactive. So a watch for that. But I think that we have a prior on this, so we kind of know what the backup situation is. Okay. The Colts here is interesting. You've got Taylor, who's just a monster, Marlon Mack, Jordan Wilkins, Nyheim Hines. I think, you know, I doubt Marlon Mack's available. Wilkins is like a sneaky stash this week if you can, you're kind of going with the short week theory in week 9 is they're on a bye. They're playing the Jets and will be, they'll be playing the Jets in week 9 at home on Thursday night. So Wilkins is one that he's seen minimal touches, but if he's available and you have like a spot in the event that there's an injury to Taylor, you know, in the event there's a COVID situation, that is a sneaky depth add. I think, again, this is a 1% turning into 2% shot. I'm not cutting an actual injury away guy, but if there's, I'll use an example. I've had Rashad Higgins on my roster and he's done nothing but create headaches. I honestly would have rather taken a zero than roster him. It's a pain. If I'm cutting him, right, this is a spot where, you know, there's nothing better to do. Stash, go ahead and stash away on Jordan Wilkins, right? That's the sort of play you're looking at. And again, I think Marlon Mack's at him. I'll be watching too. Marlon Mack, I think Jordan Wilkins is also interesting from the perspective of Marlon Mack is popped up in some trade rumors. So, and the deadline will be next week. So I think that's an interesting one where if there's an injury here this week or, you know, for whatever reason, Marlon Mack gets moved, Jordan Wilkins will sort of slot into that situation, I think, with Hines there behind Jonathan Taylor. So that I'm watching. All right, Baltimore, it's a fiasco, and I don't really have I can't really report good news. So I guess the good news is if we're gonna do a positive on this, it is that it looks like it's Latavius Murray's job because no one else is very good behind him. And so you go 4 for 14 for Devonta Freeman, 2 for 10 for Tyson Williams, 5 for 5. Yes, you heard that right. 5 attempts, 5 yards for Le'Veon Bell. Like, it's Latavius Murray's job, and there's not a particularly good answer of who the injury away guy is. Like, that's what I have to offer for you. So I do think it's a pretty low situation just because I don't think anyone's good outside of Tyson Williams, and they don't appear to agree. So, yeah, I mean, that's the best that I can do for you at this particular point. So hope the logo gets back and gets healthy. Okay, Elijah Mitchell is turning out to be one of those big, he's turning out to be one of those big waiver wire ads from earlier on in the offseason that does have a chance to be a big difference maker. So he's definitely one I'm going to watch. God, second to first for Sermon feels like it's lovely right now. Like, that would feel ideal. This situation sucks. I just don't have much more to offer. Hasty is back and working back in. It's a muddled situation. I think most of it's going to be back, and he could take Elijah Mitchell's job the day he comes back. Like, I don't trust the situation at all. So that's kind of my position on it. I think if you can get second to first type valuation for Sermon, even if you had to throw into that deal something else that's not really going to help you long term, and you get the pick back, like, that's fine. Like, he's going to be stuck with Mitchell. Like, this feels like a Royce Freeman situation, and it doesn't feel good. So I'm fine exiting and sort of getting the liquidity. And, you know, here's the thing. Here's the deal on Sermon. If he gets his job back later, I don't think you're going to feel great about it, and you're going to be he's not going to cost like what you had to pay for him initially. So if you can get something close to that back in terms of adding picks or whatever, like including him in a package for an upgrade of a pick where that's like the elite asset, like, cut your loss and do it. Like, that's kind of my feeling on it at this point. I don't trust the situation. So I'm not probably bailing for just a straight second, but you get the idea. Like, use him as a package up piece. And even if you have to include more on top of him to get into something that resembles a core asset. All right, Najee Harris is smashing, but he's underperforming. Like, his role is smashing, but he's underperforming. And honestly, I think Kalen Blash could do the same thing. So that seems outrageous, but he could sort of be inefficient in a big volume role. Like, I think he could do that. So we'll see how that ultimately works. I think he's a sneaky add. So I'm definitely adding him if he's not available. I do believe, I haven't seen this yet, but I think Snell's going on IR just because it looks like he broke his wrist and they haven't had the same media obligations or whatnot. Again, that's the, they were on a bye this past week, so we don't have full update on that, but it looked like he broke his wrist. Everyone that saw it said he broke his wrist. So I'm just going to go with that because it was pretty graphic from what I read. So I didn't need to look that close. So he's one that I think I'm going to watch again, watching back McFarland work back in as well. But I think Ballage is an interesting add this week. James Conner, Chase Edmonds. It's actually Chase Edmonds week this week, so that's good. So at least we sort of have some clarity on that. I do think he's the better player there. More diverse skill set too. He's getting more receiving work ahead of Conner. So this wasn't a game script where I expected it to be a ton of Edmonds in the passing game, but it is, and he has a pretty good week, and James Conner, you know, has actually one of his lower snap shares. So for what that's worth, it's a pretty clear 1-2 for me. All right, McCaffrey's still out. We're going to await his return. Chuba Hubbard's the lead guy ahead of Royce Freeman. It's not a ton of mystery there in terms of that. So that's, you know, that's kind of held firm to where it has been, and I don't think it is a ton of mysterious doubt or anything like that going forward. Next up, you got Denver. It's pretty clear. It's Gordon. It's Javonte Williams, and that's the committee. And it's a committee. That's pretty much it. Giants were waiting Barkley. It looks like it might be another week. So we'll be watching that. I think there's a potential that he plays. I'm sort of cautiously optimistic. I think it's a Booker game if he doesn't. And then you get kind of the muddled mess. I wouldn't worry about rostering anyone other than Booker at this point because I think Barkley's back. So even if Booker goes down, like, I think it's Barkley's job. Khalil Herbert, I think he's going to be a really interesting guy in how he fits in this offense. And you're getting back Tariq Cohen allegedly at some point. I'm not convinced that that's anything near term. But listen, a smashing PFF grade for Khalil Herbert in week 7. He goes 18 for 100, 3 for 5 for Damian Williams. So like, it's entirely possible. We've seen it all from Damian Williams. Even more incredible, this one's just incredible to me. 23 routes run for Khalil Herbert, 4 for Damian Williams. So I think Khalil Herbert, like, he's on the your question's going to be game script and all that stuff. I mean, it is talk about a putrid. I don't remember seeing a sub 40 line in the NFL in like a couple of years, and someone could correct me on that, but it's a 39.5 line against San Francisco this week. They're a 3-point underdog. So, I mean, this is a situation where he can get some run. So he's certifiably interesting, and I think he's in the running back 2 range given basically all of his work, and you're getting it in the passing game too, which was a hole in his profile that we didn't know a ton about. Like, he's stepping right through that. 77% snap share this past week, 17 for Damian Williams, 89% the week prior. So I think we have an answer, and it does appear to be Khalil Herbert at the running back position as the injury away guy ahead of Damian Williams at this point. And again, Tariq Cohen, number watching, you know, we're watching Monty as well. And I think with Monty, he's still tracking here. And it looks like he's more of it's going to be a later, Dr. Gene has him week 11 type return. So we could get a month-long stretch out of Khalil Herbert being an injury guy. It's pretty interesting, and it'll be exciting to watch. All right, Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine, Chris Evans. I think that one's pretty standard in terms of the understanding there of how that's going. Um, I I'm rostering Samaje Perine ahead of Evans, and Evans didn't play this past week, and it was 54% for Mixon and 48% snap share for Perine. So playing a healthy share there for Perine. Again, I'm not sure I necessarily love him in like a, hey, maybe he's a flex start candidate, but listen, like, they're probably better than we give him credit for. And Perine goes 11 for 52 and a touchdown. It's not horrible. He actually has more yards after contact than he does total yards, so that means he's getting hit in the backfield, and he's basically on par with Mixon in terms of receiving stuff. So, I mean, I maybe should stand corrected. I don't think that's going to be where it goes, but man, like, it's pretty darn close in terms of usage and viability there. So that's one we'll watch and see. This wasn't a game where they ended up getting way out in front of the Ravens, but it just felt like it was closer than that. And you know, so that's probably something to do with that. But man, it's a pretty big line there for Perine. I just think it shows that he's more than just a fly by night one injury away guy. Miles Sanders is injured, so we'll be watching that in terms of his recovery. I assume Kenny Gainwell is rostered. If he's not, yeah, I think a respectable bid on him is going to be needed to get him, and so that's the situation there. I think Boston Scott maybe is interesting there. I think the other thing to potentially watch for is what they do. You know, if they make a roster move, as one other thing that I would say, just to peruse and keep an eye on before you actually click, you know, before you click submit, if you will, on the actual waivers, just take a peek and see, because if they put him on IR or something like that early week, like, man, that probably isn't a great situation. But if they if there's no movement, you're probably not going to see anything outside of Boston Scott. It kind of feels like it's probably the non-IR type recovery based on everything we're reading. So you know, that's the situation. I think Gainwell, I have a share of Gainwell in like a super deep league where I've actually been starting him just because I needed routes, and so he's one that should see an uptick, and then we'll see what else is out there. Notable guys on the practice squad include Jordan Howard, Jason Huntley as well is on their practice squad, and those are the two guys there that I think warrant consideration. So I'm not really going out and adding either of those guys, but obviously we know what Jordan Howard is. All right, so we get a mix and mash of, we saw Rashad Penny come back, we saw Collins. I think DJ Dallas, you can float him back, and it looks like it was more of Collins and Penny. Again, I haven't seen snap shares or snap counts or anything like that, but I think it's worth noting that I think you can float Penny back to the wire. Carlos Hyde, the injury way guy behind James Robinson, I think still pretty clear to me. And then you've got Seattle awaiting on a short week for Seattle nonetheless. So that's going to be an interesting game. Jacksonville going up there on a bye, playing Seattle, who's just coming off of a tough Monday night loss. I think I'm actually going to take Jacksonville in my pool, almost independent of what the line is or anything like that, just because I think there's going to be value in being contrarian there. So we'll have to see. So that's definitely one we'll be watching for. Again, I think Hyde's still your injury way guy, and watch that situation there, because James Robinson is definitely proving himself to be viable as a long-term starter. Michael Carter is tracking to be your starter. Again, how much is that going to matter? Tevin Coleman beat up here, so he's got a leg injury. Ty Johnson's absolutely in that potential starter next week's Thursday night thing if Michael Carter gets injured and Tevin Coleman's not back. So scooping up shares of Ty Johnson just in the outside chance that he is viable for next week. I don't feel comfortable like getting him in lineups or anything like that, but if you on a short week, you're going to play a low total game against the Colts. Like, yeah, I mean, there's it could be worse situations to start. Speaking of worse situations to start, Mark Ingram, you can cut Philip Lindsay. Mark Ingram, honestly, it's tough to roster him in spots because I don't feel any confidence putting him in lineups. David Johnson's your passing game back. If Mark Ingram was on the waiver wire right now, I'm not sure I'm rostering him like over many guys. It's a tough situation to roster him. I'll just say that. Miles Gaskin's interesting here. As Malcolm Brown goes on IR, and you've got Salvin Ahmed being the injury away guy, we'll see there in terms of what that looks like. I think Ahmed, you have to go out. You have to add him for sure. And we'll see here what the rest of their corresponding moves look like. If there's an add, I can't imagine that they would trade assets for a running back, but who knows? Is it a guy like Patrick Laird, someone like that, I think is the more likely answer. And then Gaskin and Ahmed. But I think you want to scoop up any shares of Ahmed that are out there because it looks like he's going to be the injury way guy, at least for the next month or so, depending on the severity of the Malcolm Brown injury. I haven't seen what the actual severity was, but I'll say it's awfully early. I'm recording this on early in the morning on Tuesday, and it's awfully early for an IR designation already. So concerning there for sure. They do have on their practice squad Gerard Doakes, Patrick Laird. So a couple of names to think about there. I think probably Doakes might be rostered and in your deeper leagues. Laird probably not. So we'll see there in terms of maybe a spare shot at Doakes. But the problem is it's not even a great week to – like it's going to be tough in 28-man to get him on your roster, would sort of be my thought. So it's going to have to be deeper than that in most of my leagues. Okay, next up here is Buffalo. So they're coming off a bye. Singletary, Moss – it's pretty much the order of it. The Chargers also coming off of a bye. It's Eckler. It's Justin Jackson. I think it's Joshua Kelly and then Larry Roundtree. Again, if you sort of jumbled those up and they had a totally random outcome in terms of the snaps, I wouldn't think it'd be an unreasonable prediction going forward. So that's kind of where I am on that. I think it's a low-level situation roster. Like, I'd much rather roster Salvin Ahmed than anyone on their teams. So... and then Washington, I do think even though you have a buy-up forthcoming here on Washington with entering week, they're on a bye in week 9, I do think that you want to keep Jarrett Patterson because in the event that this, it's like a shin or leg injury, it's like broken or something, he's got a hairline fracture, it sounded like was sort of the version that I got. About Antonio Gibson. If that's true and it sort of gets worse, stress fracture, whatever, it gets worse, Jarrett Patterson could absolutely be in line. Again, you're probably going to have to hold him through a bye week to do that, but I think that's one that it's interesting enough. And it's probably enough of a rushing role that you feel okay doing that. And it's a pretty roughly clear situation, too, outside of the fact that you've got McKissick. And I don't really think McKissick's an overt threat to the rushing game. So I think Jarrett Patterson's interesting in that sphere. So well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, a little bit longer because I did a little bit different focus on snap reactions this week. So I did want to have some additional content here talking about some snap stuff for your running backs. That'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.